All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Can you see it? Did you notice?
Goes over. Checked, but the puck comes right to Pettersson, who tries a bank pass for Besser. In with a shot, he scores!
A moment's notice. Adams Lee.
Here, like, I won't cover the Canucks. Yeah. I cover Quinn Hughes and what he's doing to the Canucks.
Just wave the guy and get Demko involved. I wanted him in and down.
Wow, we should do a radio show together. Right on. I want to fist bump you right now.
What our heart. Pearl steals, cutting in, shoots, scores.
Don't waste all the good stuff on the off-air. Let's go.
Hello, Canucks fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Canucks Conversation, brought to you by the great folks at Zephyr Epic. You can use promo code HOCKEYSEASON, capital H, capital S, at Zephyr Epic, Z-E-P-H-Y-R, epic.com. Chris, we often get asked who sings our intro song, and by the way, somebody said last week, tweeted both you and I, best intro show of any Vancouver show. Or intro song of any Vancouver show. We've heard a lot of criticism about the intro song. People skip it. We don't blame you for skipping it. That's fine. Like, we're back in studio today, and we just had to sit through it. It is tough to sit through sometimes for a full minute and a half, but it means a lot to us. We like the intro the way it is. Maybe we could do a shortened version at some point, but I like it. I like it the way it is. The point I'm getting to is the lead singer of the band that sings our song, Wise Youngblood, he pulled a card. A special card using Zephyr Epic, using our promo code.
You know what? He didn't know about the promo code.
No, he didn't use the promo code.
So he has like a TikTok account where he opens cards, and he didn't even know about the promo card. He buys all his cards from Zephyr Epic anyways. So now he's got the promo card because he messaged me that video And he's like, hey, are you into cards? And like, I guess he hasn't listened to the show in a long time because we tell it every time off the top. But yeah, a one of one Nils Höglander UD canvas young gun. What a, just a beautiful card. Like, that's a pull of a lifetime. And it's another example of Zephyr Epic Packs being absolutely juiced.
Yeah, it's a one of one. We pulled a one of one. Who did, we pulled some like depth defenseman one of one that played for Minnesota. I don't remember his name, but we pulled a one of one from a Zephyr pack, but then we looked it up. It was like worth like $3.
That's what we're saying. Like, I wonder what this card's even worth.
Well, okay, so what it is, for people that don't know and haven't seen the video on Chris's Twitter, is it's for the UD canvas. So they have the Young Guns of Höglander and they have the Young Gun UD canvas. Mm-hmm. Okay. The UD canvas is like it feels different if you like touch it. Okay, this is the printing thing that they use to print that card. Yeah. And that, man, like, how cool is that? It was crazy to see the back of it, because like, this is the printing press that's used to do UD canvas Young Guns of Nils Höglander. It was like, whoa, and it's a one of one. And man, just go to zephyrepic.com, use promo code HockeySeason, capital H, capital S.
Yeah, and we're going to talk to the guys. That was that was Kyle. He's the lead singer of Wise Youngblood, and they got a new album dropping at the start of July, I believe, or sometime in July. But we're going to chat with them on the show because they're big Canucks fans. We'll have to talk about opening cards with Kyle when he comes on, too. So we're going to do that in June sometime when we get some downtime from the Canucks, because I think we're going to change up the intro with one of their new singles as well. So people love the intro. Maybe they'll even like the new music even better. So I'm stoked for that. It feels good. We're in the studio. For the first time in, has it been like a year?
I think
close
so.
To a year.
I think so.
Oh, man, it feels good to like not know that we're talking over each other when we're on the phone. Like, now I can talk over you.
Yeah, now maybe, I can talk over you in person.
Well, I was going to say, I'm going to talk over you because my voice is louder. So it's nice to get back to that. Man, it feels good. I think we got a lot to talk about, obviously, with everything that's gone over the past week for the Vancouver Canucks. And, yeah, I don't know where you want to start. You're hosting. Where do you want to go with this right off the bat?
Well, first of all, I just want to say it's very nice that we're able to stay, like, 10 feet apart from each other. I wish I might post a photo later to show people how far. Like, I'm at one side of the room. You're at the other side. Our 25-foot mic cable. I don't know if we've told this story on the podcast, but when we first built our little studio here, and we went to Long and McQuaid and got all our equipment, we like accidentally bought a 25-foot long mic cord, and we can literally wrap it around the upstairs of where we are, and we use it when Harmon comes. Yeah, it's just hilarious because there's so much room on this cord. So yeah, that's nice that we're able to be in the studio and we're able to be far apart, staying safe. But Chris, we do have a Canucks game to talk about.
Look at you. You got a rundown for the episode. We never have rundowns.
I have a episode plan. This is going to be a good episode, Chris.
Oh, yeah.
Jack Rathbone makes his NHL debut. We've been beating this drum, I think of me a little more than you, for a long time now that he needed to get games in. And I've long made the case that he needs to be playing ahead of Ollie O'Levy. And I will do that once again on this show, but more on that later. But just your thoughts on Jack Rathbone's debut. Friend of the show.
Absolutely. Two-time guest of the show. Exactly the same as Nils Höglander, actually. Man, first period, wasn't really impressed, to be 100% honest. I thought he looked a little nervous. I think he looked a little nervous in the first period. Heck, I would be nervous if I was on a pairing with Tyler Myers. I don't care if you're a first time in the NHL or if it's your 1,000th game. You got to be nervous if you're playing with Tyler Myers. And man, like, yeah, he was really thrown to the wolves in a couple situations. I thought he looked a lot better in the second period. I mean, his skating is going to be the thing that keeps him in the NHL, that and his passing. And, you know, he does a signature move at one point in the game, has a 2-on-1 where McDavid and Draisaitl are coming down on him, and they don't score.
Yeah, he played it pretty well.
Good step for him. I mean, yeah, like I said, first period, a little bit shaky, probably just a little bit of the nerves, but impressed me. I mean, he didn't blow the socks off of me, but in a similar way to how Cole Lynn's kind of impressed me and not really done a lot yet, I was kind of in the same boat with Jack Rathbone. Like, he didn't do a ton, but he really didn't, like, look bad at any point in the game.
Yeah, I thought in the first period he made some mistakes that didn't end up hurting the Canucks, but, man, did he clean it up after that. And even in the first period, like, toward the end of the first period, he was showing so much confidence, and that's what fuels his game, right? Just even watching him do that fake slap shot move that we've seen at every single level, for him to pull that off in his first game.
We gotta talk to him about that and be like, do you have a name for that? Because, like, that's his move, right?
We'll give it a name if he doesn't have one.
Yeah, I think so. We can work something out with him in the offseason to get that going. But, Yeah, I mean, really looked good. Like, moved the puck well.
Defended really well.
The thing that's going to hurt him at the start, and this is going to be, this is a huge reason why we've been banging the drum for him to get games so much right now. He needs to see how different the physicality is in the NHL.
Yeah, he got dropped twice.
Yeah, it's his weakest point, right? I mean, yeah. it's...
But he still made the play. He still made the play. Like, totally. he did get dropped, but he did make the play. So it's like, do you really care if he gets dropped? He made the play.
Well, it's not even just that. It's just how he's going to use body positioning, yep. right? Like, this is a huge lesson for him to learn here. And it's the same with Cole Lind, to me. Like, Cole Lind, you've seen him now, like, in his, what, third game now? He's looking yep. a little bit more physical. He's throwing yep. the body around a little bit. That's the type of player that he's going to have to be to stay in the league. We'll talk about Lind, I'm sure, later. But with Rathbone, you see it, like, he's still small. Like, he's still very small, right? Like, he's got space to fill out. Like, he's not tiny. He's not, you know, 5'8". But he's still a smaller guy that's going to need to fill out a little bit. But a little bit of added muscle in another offseason is exactly what this kid's going to need. But getting into game action this year, like, I was at the point where I was wondering if it was going to happen or not, right? Just the way that we weren't really seeing prospects get put into the lineup. It was worrying me that he was just sitting up here. He sat on the taxi squad for so long, got that little run in Utica. But to see him get into NHL game action and not look out of place, that's a huge win for the Rathbone supporters out there. The boners, you could call them.
We're not going to call them that.
What? Come on.
No, we're not going to call them that. Do you think he comes out of a game this season? Do you think he plays the rest of the season? Because I do. I think he plays the rest of this season.
No, I think he comes out at some point.
For who? Do you think Chatfield or Ylevi is going to give you more?
No, but I think that Ylevi comes in. There's still back-to-backs. Like, there's still two back-to-backs for the rest of the season. And to just completely forget about Ole Ylevi would be a mistake, too. Because yep, there's still potential with Ylevi. It's just, you know, Ylevi's like... Well, you wouldn't know this because you've never gone camping before, but it's like Ylevi's like trying to start a fire with wet wood, and you got to dry the wood out a little bit, and it's just, and then you can get your fire going. Then you have an NHL defenseman. With Jack Rathbone, like, he's ready to go. This is some dried cedar, which is ready to burn, and he's just got to hop into the NHL and get right after it. With Ylevi, there's still a lot that he has to learn about his game, I think, to be a successful NHL player, when, to me, Jack Rathbone knows what he is. Like, he's going to be the guy who progresses into being, you know, the Quinn Hughes light, I think, right? Like, that's the kind of easy way to describe the way that he's going to play, is he's going to do a lot of similar things that Quinn Hughes does, probably at not the same level, just because Quinn Hughes, I mean, the way that he skates around with the puck and moves it, like, I just don't think you're going to ever get that out of Rathbone. But that's not out of the question either. I mean, if this kid, I think Rathbone's slap shot, it looks so good.
It's like, really good.
It looks good. It's got pop off to it. And man, when he really gets that little bit of extra size that I think we're going to see over this offseason, and just see the evolution of his body moving it onto the ice and being able to bring that, just a little bit of maturing from him is going to just do miles and miles to his game.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's why I say Rathbone shouldn't come out for the rest of the season, Chris, is because, look, next season, or in the offseason, Alex Edler's going to be a UFA. You don't want Alex Edler coming back to play in your top four. Like, if you want to compete next year, which we hope the Canucks do, they should be trying to compete next year. You don't want Alex Edler in your top four. You can't go into next year with Alex Edler in your top four. Not after what happened this season and what you've seen from him this year. Like, Alex Edler on your bottom pairing is perfect. Like, that's a solid bottom pairing. If you have Alex Edler there on, like, a $2-2.5 million deal, that's mm-hmm. perfect. You know, veteran leadership, all the intangibles, perfect. Checks all the boxes.
I don't think he comes in over two next year.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
You know he'll be back.
There's no way, yeah.
But exactly. I don't think he comes in over two. I don't think he needs over two.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. But my main point that I want to drive home is that this guy shouldn't be in your top four next year if you want to compete. Like, we cannot go into every year talking about, oh, if Alex Edler and Chris Tanev, Travis Hamonic this year, didn't get injured, then the Canucks would make the playoffs. You know what I mean? Like, there was that old botch tweet from 2017 or 2018 or whatever that's like, the year is 20, it's February 2021, and the Canucks playoff hopes have been derailed from injuries to Edler and Tanev. And at that time, Edler and Hamonic were both out, and the Canucks were losing games. So, you know,
crazy.
All I want to say is, when I look at the two defensemen, Ylevi and Rathbone, when I look at their ceilings, one is a clear top four defenseman, one is not. And I think you can figure out who I'm talking about here. And if you want any hope of going into next year with Rathbone playing proper top 4 minutes. And he played against some pretty tough competition last night. That was his debut. I think this is a guy that Travis Green's going to trust. He's not going to be playing the same prescribed minutes as Yolevi. I think he's going to be given more of a role at 5-on-5. I think we're already starting to see that. That's why I think just in terms of winning now, which Travis still wants to do, and your future and going into next season, there's no reason not to put Rathbone in all these games, because he is the guy that if he pans out, he's going to be a top four defenseman. That's just not the case with Yolevi.
The tough thing is like looking at the pairs next year. Looking at what the pairs are going to be next year, you're going to get, you know, I think we brought it up, you know, like a week ago or so, but like Hamonic coming back is a major yes. Right. Yeah. I mean, after that slow, maybe 7-game stretch where Hamonic didn't look good with Hughes, they're in sync now. Like, yep. I'm going to be happy to see Hamonic sign another 1 or 2 year deal with the Canucks, just because I think that the simple guy to play with Quinn Hughes is a right shot defenseman who does what Hamonic does. Like, he, you know, it's the Chris Tanev model pretty much, right? I mean, that's what you're going to get. But then let's look at the pairs after that. So that's going to be your first pair. You look at your second pair, it's going to have Schmidt on it, right? Yep. Schmidt's going to be the next best defenseman. Is it Yolevi that plays there? Because I don't think it's going to be Rathbone. I think Rathbone's going to have to stay with Tyler Myers on a third pair. But then if Edler's back, he's playing with Schmidt. And there you are. You're back to having Edler in your top four.
Yeah.
But I think as the season goes on, you get a chance. If Rathbone and Myers start to click, that can sort of become your second pair. But then it's like, that's the problem, because it's like you don't really have a top four, because you have like your three best defensemen who are likely, you know, Quinn Hughes on the first pair. Nate Schmidt's probably your second best one on your second pair. And then Myers, like, I wouldn't say best, but he's most used.
Yep. Yep.
And you have your top three most used defensemen. None of them are playing together.
Yeah.
They're all on different pairings, which is, I guess, okay if you can trust Jack Rathbone to play lots of minutes some nights when that pairing's going. But that's kind of how I see the pairing shaping out next year. And that leaves Olielevia on the outside. But him coming into next season, yeah, that's a thing.
Okay, sorry to cut you off, which it was funny. We were talking about not talking over each other. Yeah, during the
studio. We can do it now.
We are doing it, yes. Yeah,
totally.
Okay, what about Olielevia's game and his deployment this year makes you think that he could ever come into next season playing top 4 minutes? Like, not if Travis Green's the coach, and, you know, he's a good coach, okay? We've talked about this numerous times on this show. Olielevi just, it's not there for a top four defenseman. And if you're penciling in Olielevi into the top four for next year, I'm sorry, you're not icing a competitive team. You're not.
The way that he does get into the top four is if Edler's not back.
Yeah, but
because Yolevi makes more sense with Schmidt than Rathbone does.
But
with Schmidt.
you don't want to put Yolevi in because Edler's not there, because that's just taking a step back. Like, I would rather have Edler in that spot than Yolevi. Like, I'm all for not putting Edler in the top four, but man, if it's between Edler and Yolevi, like, Yolevi can't play top 4 minutes. Your thing cannot be that, oh, I'm a defenseman who can snap passes every once in a while, and that's what Yolevi is. Oh, but by the way, I can't pivot or defend the rush. Look at Jack Rathbone last night, Chris. There were no times last night where he was getting lost in the defensive zone. He was tracking his man, and then he's able to use his skating to quickly get back into position. Yolevi looks lost in those same scenarios. Like, you have to go back and watch Jack Rathbone shift, and he wasn't even spectacular. The bar is so low for bottom pairing defensemen on this team, Chris, that Jack Rathbone just completely soared over it. And I'm sorry, it's just, I don't see a future for Yolevi here. I just don't, especially in the top four.
I still do. I still do see, I don't know about top four, but I think that there's a future for him to be that penalty-killing guy who basically replaces Alex Edler.
Maybe a seventh or like six or seven, maybe.
I think he can get to be a four still. I just think that
no way.
We haven't seen Yolevi get to the peak yet. Like, he is still so low.
I'm not trying to rag on the guy, because I think this is partly because of all the surgeries and injuries he's had.
Totally.
He cannot pivot, Chris. Like, the dude cannot skate. He can't defend the rush. You cannot play top 4 minutes in the NHL in the Pacific Division, where Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl are always bursting out on the wing on you. You can't play real minutes in this division, in this league, if you can't do that. And Yolevi can't. Like, he has to play these prescribed minutes because he cannot defend against the rush. And I don't see that improving unless he gets some crazy skating coach. Like, I don't know what it's going to take. But right now, what I'm seeing from Yolevi is that he is never going to be a top four defenseman.
I think that there's a lot that he's learned this year. From getting to play NHL games, there's a lot that Yolevi's been able to learn this year. And like I said, his development, like, it's just starting. I know that he's a little bit older than Rathbone. You know, I think only 1 year older than Rathbone. Yeah, yeah. But his development's still just starting because he really didn't get a chance to do any development between the age of 19 and 21. Like, he wasn't able to develop at all. And now that he's here playing NHL games, I still take that as a big win. Like, not looking at it from the whole situation, but looking at it from this season, I still think Yolevi's a big win for the Canucks. It obviously, the draft pick, you take that, that's bad. It's not great to see what he's been able to do, but looking back for the past couple of years and knowing what we know from the past few years of his injuries and what's kept him out, what's hurt him when he's actually been on the ice, like, I don't take a lot of those games in Utica because he just wasn't healthy.
Yeah, totally.
He's been healthy now. And now he's seeing, like, wow, there are things that I really need to improve on with my skating. Because when he was, you know, a junior player playing with Finland in the U-20s, he was excellent. He looked like he could skate. He could keep up with everyone. His passes were great. Just snap the puck up to Puljujärvi and line A and let it happen on that Finland team. But now that he's seen the NHL and seen what it feels like to have Connor McDavid come down on you, to have Austin Matthews fly down the wing on you, like, there's such a big learning curve that needs to happen this offseason due to what he's learned from the season.
Fair.
And I think that that's going to make a huge difference in actually seeing the development of Ole Yolevi start.
Fair.
If you're getting a guy in Yolevi who isn't going to be a top four defenseman, which, you know, if you're looking at it right now with Rathbone and Yolevi, both of them side by side, you got to think Rathbone is going to be the top four guy out of the two. Just not just from the game that we saw Rathbone play in, but just the way that he's developed and the way that he looked in the AHL and everything that he did, you know, that's the thing with Yolevi is, like, he does still have a chance to play like a top four, but be your bottom pairing guy now because you have Rathbone and Hughes. You don't need to ask Yolevi to be the top four guy anymore. He just needs to be a support defenseman who can play in the top four in a pinch. And that's kind of what I'm still hoping that Yolevi can be. And I don't think that his career is, like, lost. It's just been hurt so bad from all the injuries. Like, it's absolutely just been sidelined for the development in some crucial years that this offseason, if he's able to really do something in his game and come back next year, do you need Edler? Like, that, but I think he has to be here. It's a similar spot with Holtby, right? Like, we didn't know if Thatcher Demko was going to come in and be a number one starter this year. I'm not saying that Yolevi is going to come in and be a number one defenseman, but if he comes back next year and is able to just improve on his game from the things that he learned this year, he's going to be a help for this Canucks team moving forward. He's not an absolute bust like a lot of people projected he was going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. No, the thing is, like, I think he can be useful. But like I said, I think it's going to be in a 6-7 role when everything's said and done. I don't think he's going to be able to play real top 4 minutes. It's similar to Stetcher. Like, Stetcher could not play top 4 minutes long term. Like, he was able to step up and he was a great bottom pairing defenseman. I think Yolevi's gonna be worse than Stetcher. I do. Like, I think
that's what you want to aim for with him, though. You want him to be the left-handed Troy Stetcher. It's really too bad he's not right-handed because,
oh,
you
know, man,
going into next year would have been nice to see Rathbone and Yolevi. Yeah. I wonder if Yolevi can play the right side eventually too. Like, I don't know. That's a lot to ask. And in Utica, he played the left side with a left side guy on his partner for the right side. So, like, it's a lot to ask for him to do it, but he's been around situations where he's seen how it works. It's a lot to ask, but, like, if that's the thing that's going to help him stay in the NHL, he has to do it. So if he can, you know, take what he's learned this year, take it into next year, I'm not giving up on Yolevi hitting the peak of being a number four. He ain't a top four guy, but he might be a number four.
I see what you
Rathbone could be a top four.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's just the thing is when I look at next season, right? And I look at next season's outlook, it's like you said, like, if you can't come back with Yolevi because you can't let Edler walk and be like, well, Yolevi's going to be able to step up or Rathbone's going to be able to step up. Like, man, big fan of Rathbone. That's no secret, but we don't know if he can play top 4 minutes next year. Right? Like, that's why you need to continue to get games in for him. Like, that's what I'm saying. That's why Rathbone needs to keep playing because you really, like, like you said, Yolevi knows what he needs to work on now. So now let him go work on it in the offseason, go to training camp, see if he's come back stronger.
Might be better to not play Yolevi.
That's what I'm saying.
Now that I'm thinking back, like, if he's like, oh, snap, look at this guy coming in, pretty much same age as me, a year younger. This guy's going to come and get a spot over me.
Exactly.
Like, I got to work my ass off now. Like, if he doesn't come back for another game, if it's Rathbone the rest of the year, you know, that might push Levy even more in the offseason to do something.
Man, I'm not trying to stoke any fires here, but Travis really likes Rathbone. Like, Travis loved Rathbone last night. That's what it really sounded like in the postgame when he was talking about him. The ultimate hype man, Travis Green. I think it just makes sense in the here and now, and I think it really makes sense in the long term to get Rathbone. And even like you just said, even for Ulevi, it makes sense for Rathbone to play all the games from here on out, because you're able to kind of throw Rathbone in, see what he can do in an actual top four role. Like, you can toy around with his minutes a little bit, you know what I mean? And Even in his debut, he was trusted. Like that rush against McDavid and Draisaitl, like, listen, we didn't hear the same verbiage and the same words when Travis is asked about putting Ulevi against McDavid and Draisaitl, but in his pregame he said, I'm not going to be afraid to put Rathbone against top pairings. And that's his first game that he's saying this, and sure enough, he's out there. And man, I think in the here and now and the long term, it just makes more sense for Rathbone to play all the games from here on out.
It does. And I look at the defense core moving forward. I think Ulevi's a crucial piece of it, because look at the four guys that are going to be here moving forward, and Quinn Hughes, Tyler Myers, Nate Schmidt, and who am I missing? And Jack Rathbone. All very offensive guys, right? I mean, Myers is not good defensively. Schmidt has made a lot of big mistakes this year in his own zone. Hughes has taken a big step back defensively this year. And Jack Rathbone, I just don't know if he's ever going to be big enough to really like lean on guys around the net and be that good. He's got a great stick around the crease, Great stick defending on two-on-ones. But you look at those guys and it's like, those are four really offensive guys on your back end. You know, that's why Travis Hamonic feels like an easy signing for me moving into next year. And that's why Ulevi's potential of being a defense first guy can help this team so much moving forward, because all the defensemen they have are offensive guys. You need two guys in your top. If you're six defensemen, like, you need two guys that are just going to shut her down on the back end and hold things down and be good in your defensive zone and specialize in that, not only for the penalty kill, but just at 5-on-5 and letting the other partner be able to do his offensive things. So that's why I think that Ulevi's potential for what he can hit as a defensive guy is actually pretty important for the Canucks moving forward. Not as important as Rathbone being that guy who can push to be pushing Tyler Myers out of the second power play unit, right? I mean, you know, it's going to be tough for him to get there. I think that's a spot where Rathbone looks his best, is on the power play unit. Looked great with Utica this year. But, man, you got Nate Schmidt in front of you. You got Tyler Myers in front of you. It's going to be a hard time for Jack Rathbone to get any power play time. So he's going to have to do a lot of his offensive damage at 5-on-5.
Absolutely. The only thing I wanted to mention, though, is, you know, we're talking about Ulevi being this defensive defenseman. I'll just say it again, like, I haven't seen anything that makes me think that he can be a defensive defenseman at the NHL level. Like, if that's your role and you're a defensive defenseman, you need to be able to defend against top competition.
Yeah.
Ulevi's been given the easiest matchups and he hasn't excelled. Like, he hasn't even excelled in that. So I'm sorry, until I see something, and I'm right there with you. Great. I hope he improves this offseason. Hope he comes back and he's Chris Tanev. That'd be great if he came back next year and he's this defensive specialist and he can actually play these minutes. That's great. But there's no point sitting here saying, oh, they need to keep Ulevi because if he turns into this defensive specialist, he's going to be helpful, because we haven't seen anything that suggests that that could be anywhere near possible. So I just, honestly, I don't see it yet. I haven't seen anything from Ulevi that suggests that he can be that.
I think that the thing that I've seen in his game that I like is, and it's something I brought up a lot with you, is just his in-zone defending. I mean, he's playing with Tyler Myers. You saw it last night with Jack Rathbone. Tyler Myers going rogue and just running into corners, chasing guys to the point, and Rathbone's like stuck around the crease by himself trying to defend. That's the same thing that happens to Olli Ulevi a lot, right? And that's going to be the tough part for Rathbone and Myers as a pairing, because Rathbone isn't that stand-up defensive guy. You know, and Myers, just like I said, he goes rogue. He chases guys to the points. He goes into corners. He comes to the wrong side on the ice and just, you know, lays down at times for no reason, like he's taking a nap. And it's like Rathbone needs to be able to kind of like join rushes and do things that Tyler Myers likes to do. So that pairing that we're not likely to see next year, because it's going to be interesting to watch that battle in camp next season, but that's a very possible third pairing starting next year, would be Tyler Myers and Jack Rathbone. And like, it's great to get a veteran with Jack Rathbone for sure. Tyler Myers has played a lot of hockey in the NHL for a long time, but he's not a great guy to jump in. That he's not like when Quinn Hughes came in and had Chris Tanev beside him. What a perfect spot to be in. You know, if you had another Chris Tanev or if you had somebody else that could play with Quinn Hughes and you got Tyler or Travis Hamonic back there with Jack Rathbone on a third pairing, I love that too.
Yeah.
You know, if you can find a guy that can play with Quinn Hughes, that, you know, Tyler Myers has looked okay with Quinn Hughes at times, right? I mean, it's tough because, like, you have these guys, and I just mentioned it, the four offensive players, that you kind of want a little bit of balance for Rathbone, and I just don't think you're going to get that with Tyler Myers as his partner.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, and I was actually going to bring up moving Hamonic back there, but the only thing with that is you really don't want to mess with Hughes-Hamonic pairing's mojo, right? Like, they've just found it, too, and Hughes was just talking about this. I can't remember where I heard him talking.
But if you have Rathbone coming into next year, like, the idea that we floated last offseason in this studio with Harm was Nate Schmidt and Quinn Hughes together, and is that a possibility moving into next year as your first pairing? Because, you know, Schmidt, maybe he improves a little bit defensively. I mean, he's not bad defensively.
Yeah, I think Schmidt's been fine. It's just
his mistakes are just so big.
Exactly.
They're huge. Yeah. They're huge mistakes when he makes them. But that, I think that needs to be explored a little more into next season. If you can get Hamonic to play on a third pairing with Jack Rathbone, with Nate Schmidt playing with Hughes, like, that's, it's not like it's, like, remember when we were talking about it in going into the season and we're like, you know, maybe when you're down, you put Hughes and Schmidt together and they do all this offense for you. Why not have that all the time now? If you have Jack Rathbone coming in as a guy that you can trust, why not put the Schmidt pairing back with Hughes and see what happens? We've seen it at times this year. It's obviously not taken off and caught fire like we thought, but we've really not seen it a lot this year at all.
Exactly.
So I wonder if that's potentially something you can go into next year, but it's like, it's hard because things are starting to look a little bit better with Hamonic and Hughes together as a pairing.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, we're going to cut to break. On the other side, we're going to talk about the AHL affiliate moving to Abbotsford. I do want to talk about this. I know this is a Canucks conversation. We're going to talk about the whole New York Rangers George Parros thing as well. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff on the other side of the break. So keep it locked, keep it loaded on the Canucks conversation.
All right. You guys all know about Parallel 49 beer from our commercials here on the show, and now we have a new announcement. Hello, Peach Bod. That's right. It's not all about the Beach Bod this summer. It's all about the Peach Bod this summer. This one's an interesting one, folks. A sparkling peach ale. So you're getting a beer with peach flavor on it, but it's also high in carbonation. It's definitely a different one, and I highly recommend going out there and giving it a try if you're into a peach-flavored beer. And that's something, you know, I'm pretty damn into. I got to get out and try it myself pretty soon here. I will report back on the show about this. So go out there and try the Peach Bod for yourself from Parallel 49 Beer. Check them out on Instagram, at Parallel49, as in the numbers, and then beer, that's Parallel 49 Beer. And be sure to check out their website for more information about how you can get beer through Uber Eats. That's right, through those food delivery apps. Uber Eats, you can get your delivery from Parallel 49 Beer. Be sure to check out their website, parallel49brewing.com. That's Parallel, the numbers 49brewing.com.
The pandemic and a slow economy are making it tough on a lot of people to find steady, good-paying work. But one industry is bucking that trend. Construction companies are hiring and need more workers than ever before. Upload your resume to icba.ca and get noticed. With more than 3,000 employers on our ICBA team, our employment network can connect you to businesses crewing up for the 2021 construction season. Trades jobs that pay well, offer excellent benefits, invest in safety training, and give a firm career foundation. Check out icba.ca/jobs. All right, and a massive thank you to all of our sponsors at the Canucks Conversation Podcast. Again, I do want to mention, Chris, if anybody is out there, wants to advertise their business, reach out to us. We said that on the last week's show. We got someone. We're talking to someone right now, which is a lot of fun. We have an advertisement package now, which I created. I'm pretty proud of it. I don't know if I sent it to you, but pretty official now. But the one thing I wanted to say, and this was something we were just talking about off air, but I want to say it on the show because it is sports related. The New York Yankees and the New York Mets are giving free tickets to people if they come get vaccinated. So if people go get vaccinated at Yankee Stadium or wherever they're doing it, the Yankees and Mets are giving free tickets to people.
Wow.
I think people would like give up Canucks tickets or like pay right now to get the vaccine because of how slow our rollout is.
Yeah, I can't believe it. Like, there's one at BCIT. Like, I'm at BCIT this week doing sports updates, and There's nobody in line to go in there. I thought that the lineups would be insane. This is like the first one that I've seen of a vaccination center. I guess that's what you call it, right?
Yeah,
it feels right. And like, I can't believe the lineups aren't longer for people to get in here. I feel like they're not. I don't know.
Yeah, we definitely should.
I don't. Yeah, we're not going down this road because we don't know what we're talking about. And I don't want to try and sound like I'm talking right, but like, I hear my girlfriend talk about it, and yeah, it's not going great.
No,
still,
it is not.
It's getting better, it feels like, but it's still not going great.
But it's all about supply, right? And we're not going to get into this.
Well, let's go to New York. Let's get some tickets. Go watch a game.
Yeah, I was going to say, if we just go to New York, we can get a free Yankees game and a vaccine. Like, that sounds pretty freaking awesome now.
Great, yeah.
Yeah, which is the crazy part, because then all those people that get vaccinated then go to a game where their vaccine like hasn't kicked in yet. You know what I mean? Like, it's like tickets for the next day or whatever. Anyway, let's not talk about COVID. We're almost done having to talk about that every week on the podcast. So let's get closer to those days. The one thing we need to talk about, and I said we were going to talk about this before the break, and then during the break, the New York Rangers fired Jeff Gorton. Oh my gosh, how did I forget the guy's name? And their president. I don't know why I've just forgotten his name. But Jeff Gorton, their GM, fired. Which was bizarre, to say the least. It's, okay, yeah, John Davidson, their president, and Jeff Gorton, with a T, their GM. That's bizarre, Chris. And, you know, it absolutely has something to do with the events of the last 48 hours. The Rangers putting out a statement directly calling for George Parros' job as head of Department of Player Safety. They came out swinging in that statement, dude. Like, it was not a statement that you expect from an NHL team, especially an original six team. Like, that meant something, Chris. And yeah, okay. This from Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet. Like many of you, I assume this had to do with the events of the past 48 hours. I don't believe Davidson Gorton had anything to do with last night's Rangers statement. It was Dolan-driven, the owner. However, there is word Dolan was unhappy with this New York Rangers season and wanted to make a change. Seems crazy to me because they have come a long, long way in 2 years, but he's the owner. Just bizarre. Like, it's bizarre, Chris. And I'm sure Francesco Aquilini's mentions right now, and just looking at Twitter, everybody is tweeting at him to hire Jeff Gorton. But we're not even going to entertain that idea on this show because it's just...
We got a long off-season quads.
Yeah, exactly.
We got a long off-season
to do exactly. That. But yeah, that was interesting. And in my show notes, I had a show plan. I was just going to... I have here Rangers statement, Rangers incident. And I'm sorry, like, I haven't really talked about this publicly yet because, you know, writing at Canucks Army and whatever, didn't do anything for DFO on it. That suspension... I just use the word suspension. That fine, that punishment for Tom Wilson that did not fit the crime at all. And it just opens up so much for players to just think it's open season on star players and you can just do stuff like that. And oh my gosh, just the people out there, you know, Ryan Whitney, Jeff O'Neill, these people that are like, oh, pigeons, everybody's a crybaby. Look, I know I didn't play in the league, but John Scott did, and John Scott came out and had some very pointed words, and he's right. Like he was absolutely right. He was basically saying, like, that's not only is it gutless to do what Wilson did, but the crime, the punishment does not fit the crime at all. Like, at all. He's ragdolling Panarin. Panarin's head's like an inch from the ice with no helmet on. Panarin gets hurt on the play. He's done for the season, and he doesn't get a suspension. And the thing about it, Chris, is if Panarin like laid there motionless from the exact same incident, okay? If he laid there like motionless and didn't get up, 100% there'd be a suspension. But it's like you're still putting a player in a position where he could be in a position to get hurt like that and lay there motionless away from the play after the whistles have gone and he doesn't get a suspension. So if someone does that same thing and there's a different outcome, exact same thing, because there could have been a different outcome, that could have been a lot worse, then there's a suspension? I'm just, you can't. Well,
look at the Edler thing. Because he's injured, it's a suspension. And that's not the way it should be, because it opens up the door to keep doing that stuff. And you know what? John Scott said it best. Like, he's a player. He played that role that Tom Wilson thinks that he is. Like, did you see him in the penalty box? What an idiot.
Oh, don't even get me idiot. Started. Don't even
50 pounds on Panarin, 5 inches on Panarin, and he's doing that to him. You think you're tough? What an idiot. And John Scott, what I thought was important about what John Scott said, and his video was really good. I thought that his video was very well put together. I mean, I slipped up on a few words, but we all do that here and there. But what he mentioned was, like, I think near the end of the video, he said something about, well, if that doesn't get suspension and that's a $5,000 fine, he's like, you can do whatever you want. He said, if I was in the game still, he would do whatever he wants to the Stars. And it's like, he knew that it was wrong, but he knew that as his role as an enforcer, he'd be able to do that. I just don't think Tom Wilson understands that. Understands, like, the right way to be an enforcer if you are going to be an enforcer, and the role's almost out of the game, right? Like, the role of enforcer is pretty much out of the game. You know, now you just have idiots like Tom Wilson, you know. And man, I just, it started with just the punch on Buchnevich, which was brutal, and I felt like that was suspendable enough. A guy face down on the ice, like both of his shoulders down on the ice, his face kind of sideways, and you're punching him in the face? That feels like a suspension in its own. And then to grab one of the best players in the world, like, this is one of the NHL's top stars in Artemi Panarin, and you're going to slam him without his helmet onto the ice? That was the most disgusting thing I've seen this year, probably on the ice, from a hockey player. And I no respect. I think it was Zibanejad in the post game after who said it, like, zero respect for that guy, you know, like, and it's just like, you, it's like what you just said too. I mean, if the NHL is not going to police it, then the players are going to do something. And then it's just like, now we're back to talking about the freaking code.
Yeah, right? now we're talking about Wayne Simmonds jumping Alex Edler. But even in that scenario, it's like the league stepped in, gave Edler suspension. That should have been the end of it. But it wasn't because of the code. And now...
So now the code says, like, multiple people are going to jump Tom Wilson.
Now
you're going to put in your biggest guy.
Yeah. Now Tom Wilson might get hurt. And it's like, I mean, you know, okay, I know he's a, you know, what he did was wrong.
That picture of him standing in the penalty
box. Yeah, I get it. With what we know about, like, brain injuries and head trauma, you don't want something happening like the Steve Moore incident, right? Yeah. Like, you don't want anything happening like that to any human being. But it's the NHL is putting him in a position to have that happen. Like, there needed to be a way for the league to make sure that Tom Wilson wasn't playing tonight, even if it was a one-game suspension, which would not have killed them to dole out to him. You know, then he's not playing against the Rangers tonight. But here we are. He is in the lineup against the Rangers, and he's going to be put in a dangerous position. It's going to be dangerous. Also, I wanted to mention, it's funny when you, like, come out and call players that are, like, that are huge idiots, because I wouldn't do that, because I'm like, I can never take that guy. But you, like, probably could take Tom Wilson.
What it would have been like, it seriously would have been like if you and me were on the ice, like, and me picking you up and slamming you. Like, it's, I mean, the weight's, like, a little bit different, but, like, not much different than what Tom Wilson is from Panarin, from size difference.
I wouldn't,
like,
appreciate that.
No, like, it would not be a fair thing to do. And just, I know this isn't, like, the main point of the problem. Like, the problem is Tom Wilson, but wow, what a bunch of egg on the NHL's face from not protecting Artemi Panarin.
Who's out for the season? That's the thing.
People, like, normally this stuff happens, and it's like, oh, imagine if it was Connor McDavid that he did it to. It was Artemi Panarin.
Yeah.
Like, one of the top five players in the NHL, probably.
Yeah.
And they did nothing to protect him. The NHL did nothing. Good on the Rangers for calling him out, and it's too bad that they got fired. There's a lot of openings in Vancouver, so, like, you know, like, and I think there might be more in the future. So, I give props to the Rangers for putting out that statement. I thought that statement, you know, hit hard. I thought it hit harder than Tom Wilson when he sees a 140-pound guy on the ice. Like, it was a great statement from the Rangers put out. But let's move on. We don't do a lot of NHL talk on the show here.
No, we don't.
This one we had to.
Yeah.
This is a freaking DFO coming through on the podcast.
Yeah, man. Corporate Dave.
Talking about the whole league. What are we doing here? Can we talk? Let's talk the comments.
I was just about to say, we... damn, I had a good segue and a little joke based on something you said, but now it's out of my mind. So, AHL affiliate, coming to Abbotsford. Canucks tried to do this 8 years ago, unsuccessfully. Now they are bringing their AHL affiliate to Abbotsford. They will play in the Pacific Division once the Board of Governors has their meeting on Thursday and approves it. They're expected to.
Can you fill me in with something? You might know this more than me, because I'm not, I'm an island guy. Is it the LEC, or is there, like, an... Is Langley and Abbotsford like the same arena?
No,
there's an Abbotsford Event Center as well.
Yeah. Okay,
so I don't
think it's called
the
Abbotsford Event Center. I think it's the Abbotsford Center.
Okay,
I think it's just called that. But yeah, the LEC is where the Giants play. But Abbotsford and Langley.
Have you been to the Abbotsford Center? Like, is it nicer than the LEC? Like, why wouldn't they go to the LEC?
I've never been to Abbotsford.
Okay, because I like the Langley Event Center is nice. I've been there for a lot of Giants games, and I like it in there.
You know, they're in different cities, right? Like, you know, Abbotsford.
Yeah, but I thought they were like east. Right beside each other. I still don't know.
But you know, people in Mission can drive down. Abbotsford's closer to Mission. Like,
you know what? Actually,
Maple
now
Ridge.
That I think about it, I know where Abbotsford is now.
Okay.
Because Abbotsford has the Arby's. Abbotsford has the Arby's. And that's, man, like, I don't live, like, I'm already out in that way anyways.
Oh.
I'm in, like, the White Rocks, South Surrey area. So, you know, it's not the worst drive for me. And every single time, I hope the Arby's is open late. I hope it doesn't close at 10. I hope it closes at 11. I can pick up Arby's after every single Canucks AHL game that I'll be going to next year.
Basketball.
And I'm putting it out there. I put it out there on Twitter. If they need a guy for color commentary, I want that. I want to be able to do that.
Well, that was the segue.
Me and John Abbott, man.
There you go.
Hockey Abs is going to be the guy, unless he's going to Seattle.
That was the segue that I was actually going to use. When you said there was openings in Vancouver, I was going to say there's going to be some openings in Abbotsford as well. And I tweeted this yesterday. But man, like, you know, I'm lucky enough to have a job. You're lucky enough to have a job working at the radio station.
Well, I have a couple of like, I have 3/3 of a job.
Yeah, fair. Very
fair. I have one job that can support me. I have 3/3.
Yes, exactly. But like, that's what I'm saying is, you know, a lot of people, and this included you and I when we were starting out, working day jobs, grinding away at the Canucks, at Canucks Army, at different blogs, whatever we were doing, doing the podcast, all that sort of stuff. Like, there's people that are, you know, most of these people that are blogging are working day jobs, right? It's not easy to make this your full-time thing. And with the AHL affiliate coming here, there's going to be positions opening up for, you know, like you just said, color commentary, which I really hope you get. I think they'd actually attract some more listeners to the broadcast.
Have I told the story of what I used to do when
yes,
I used to do color?
Yes.
Did I tell them on
Patreon?
That.
If you're you told them on the
no,
main
I
show.
Will be doing it on the main.
You cannot main do broadcast. That if you're on AHL broadcast.
Dude, it makes the broadcast better.
All right.
It really
does. Tell everybody, because I'm sure somebody doesn't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so when I used to do color in the BCIHL, a little bit in the BCHL, VIJHL, all three of those leagues. And what I used to do is my roommate would text me sometimes two words a period, sometimes three words, sometimes just one. He would text me words that I had to slip into the broadcast. And they range from a variety of different things. And I've done it on a couple radio hits as well, when my friends are listening to me, if I'm being 100% honest. So it's just fun to try and like get to the words and use them. But I remember like using popcorn shrimp and like saying Fortnite and like all these things that I'd slip into the broadcast, and the play-by-play guy had no idea. So like I would go off on some tangent as the color guy when the play stopped and bring myself to say popcorn shrimp or BC fairies or something random on the broadcast. It was fun, and I would still do it. If I was doing it for the Comets or whatever the Abbotsford team is going to be called. What do you have a favorite name?
Abbotsford Apples. Remember Apples? I sent that to you right away. I'm not married to the idea of Abbotsford Apples. It was just the first thing that came to mind. But I've heard some good ones. Like Zach Lang, the news director at the Nation Network. Good follow on Twitter, by the way. Zach Lang's a really good dude. He texted me right away and said Abbotsford Aces. Like it should.
Oh, I like that.
I love that name. Like the Abbotsford like Aces is really nice.
Plus, like it sounds like an AHL team. But you know, like I thought, I don't know if I've seen like it's not going to be airplanes, but some sort of air thing because Abbotsford, you got
aviators,
the double A
aviators. People were
aviators.
Saying.
I like that. Yeah, but Aces is good. Aces is really good.
I'll take Aces over aviators.
Aces is the best one I've heard so far.
Yeah, I like Aces too. I think Zach was kind of hit the nail on the head there. I really like Aces. But I've heard a lot. And couple things. Phil, oh my gosh, I don't know his last name. I don't know how to say his full last name. Figs, Phil Figs. He goes by Phil Figs. Second year student at BCIT, doing his practicum with us at Canucks Army.
Graduated, man.
Yeah.
Unless you fail him.
Well, no, he has to do his practicum with us, and I'm not going to fail Phil. He's great.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's doing an article right now that'll be up tomorrow morning. Just, I don't know how many he's going to come up with, but he's just basically, I told him to go look up Abbotsford lore, and now he's looking up, like, he really likes the name Abbotsford Tulips, because you know they have the Abbotsford Tulip Festival, right?
Sure.
Yeah, so the
I have no idea.
The Abbotsford Tulips as a potential name, but I don't think that'll be one that sticks. But yeah,
it'd be cool to have some fun with it, but really Aces is good.
Aces is good. It's a
Aces
layup.
Aces sets you up to have like, think about it. You can have like a hearts, the ace of hearts. You can have a red jersey. You can have a black jersey. You kind of do both of those things. Like, man, I like that. That's the I haven't heard that one until you just said it, and that's now my favorite.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, Zach kind of hit the nail on the head with that one. Yeah. But, okay, so AHL affiliate, that's going to help a lot. They are going to play in the Pacific Division where most of the teams are in California. So travel is going to cost a little bit more, but, you know, it's not our money. So
I think it gets balanced out with them, with Aquilini having ticket sales now. Right?
Yes.
You know, getting fans in.
And not having to pay for players to take airplanes from Utica to Vancouver when they get called up.
Yeah, sure. Well, that's not that much.
No, it's not. But I still, you know what I'm saying, right? Yeah. Like, you know.
Well, now, I believe that there's been over 250 people already signed up for season tickets.
Yeah, I saw people signing up for season tickets. Yeah, which is great. But yeah, what I was saying, I didn't mean just the costs of moving a player. I mean benefit of just driving an hour to Rogers Arena, right? Like, the Leafs do this all the time with their AHL team, right? Like, the way they maneuver the cap is by calling somebody up like an hour before the game. And you can do that now if you're the Canucks. You don't have to wait. I know in a regular season, they don't have to wait a week or two for a player to get up here. But, you know, in a regular season, they still, if you call a player up, he's not getting here. He's not ready to, if you have a game tomorrow and you call a player up, he's probably not going to play in that game. Like, he's going to get in late. He's going to have a time zone change. He's going to need some time, right? So this will help the Canucks for sure. And yeah, it's good for our city. It's good for our province. It's good for the Fraser Valley. And by the way, I've seen some people floating it out there. They should call it the Fraser Valley instead of the Abbotsford blank. Because there's going to be a lot of fans coming from around the Fraser Valley, right? Sure. Like, you're going to get people from Chilliwack, right? Yeah. And, you know.
Go with the BC Lions approach. You know, it's not the Vancouver Lions.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I don't hate that either.
Yeah, I think that
but I don't, then it doesn't. It,
Fraser Valley Voodoo.
Fraser Valley Aces doesn't sound as good. Abbotsford Aces sounds good. I want that to happen.
It does. But if it's not going to be Abbotsford Aces, Fraser Valley Voodoo. Pay homage to the
Vancouver
Voodoo.
Shout out to meet my folks on the island. I know we got a lot of listeners in Victoria. The Fraser Valley Salsa. Bring back the salsa.
Wow.
The salsa is the best logo I've ever seen for a hockey team.
Jordy Benn played for the salsa.
Jordy Benn did play for the salsa. Yeah. I don't think his brother did.
No, I don't think so.
I think he did. He had a little, I think I remember seeing he had like a 6-game stretch or something before he went to the Dub.
Amazing.
But man, the salsa, I'm pitching that idea, that's for sure. It's still the best logo I've ever seen. It's also the worst logo I've ever seen. But yeah, I think, you know, I was on Utica Radio right before we started recording here, talking with those guys, and you know, they asked me a few things, like what have I thought, like literally just my like whole thoughts of what the Canucks having their affiliate in Utica was like. And I just thought, like, I thought back to those videos of maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago when they were in the playoffs. Or even during the playoff run, like pushing into the playoffs and seeing like hundreds of people wait there for the bus to get back on a road trip and like cheer on the Comets, cheer on these Canucks prospects, cheer on, you know, Thatcher Demko when he was the goaltender for them, you know, even back with, you know, second year of the Comets, I believe was Jacob Markstrom's playoff year. And just to see the support that they had in Utica, like, yeah, the situation with like where they were located was bad. But when you like when you're actually in there and you're talking with these guys and just like everyone that I've dealt with in Utica has been so great. And to hear what the fans were like, to see what they were like at the games, to see how nuts they were getting. It could have been the all you could drink nights that they had. Those get fans going for sure. But good move by Utica on that. Hopefully they bring that to Abby. I might not be a media member if it's all you can drink. But like they had really good support. They had a really good relationship with the city and the fans and the team that they had there. Not the best spot, I don't think, for the Canucks to have their AHL team in Utica, just because, you know, it was nice to them to get so many games in. And this year especially, like, if they're up here this year, they ain't playing a lot of games, right? Like, they would have to be down in a, you know, bubble or something in California or playing against guys in California. But just the travel wasn't bad. The travel was cheap. You had so many teams around you that it was a good situation. But this is a big win, I think, moving forward for, you know, Canucks fans that are in the Fraser Valley or in Vancouver, they want to make the drive or want to support this team and want to see, you know, the next Cole Lind or the next Jonah Gadjevich, next Mikey DiPietro. Heck, you're probably going to see Mikey DiPietro there next year. That's exciting to know. And for us with coverage, like I'm going to be at every single AHL game for the Canucks when they're in Abbotsford. Cause it's like my coverage of that team is going to be, you know, 10 times what it was over the past few years of me trying to cover this team. And I'm excited for that. But at the same, like, you just got to say, like, man, what they did in Utica was they did a lot of really good things in Utica. And a lot of people like to rip on the Comets because they didn't get prospects up. We didn't see Jonathan Dowland succeed. We didn't see Petrus Palmi succeed. And man, I think they've turned the corner a little bit with these guys. I think they've done a lot better job with the Cole Lins and the Jonah Gadjeviches and the Mikey DiPietros. I think they've done a lot better job over the past couple of years. I think Trent Cull has learned a lot about how to develop prospects over the past couple of years. And I hope that he's part of this group moving forward. And in the end, it's a huge win for British Columbians. It's a great spot for Canucks fans that live here in BC. And I don't think the Comets are, or sorry, I don't think the city of Utica is going to be that bad because I think they're getting the Devils.
They are. They are getting
the Devils. It sounds like they're getting the Devils. Robert Esch was on right after me, actually, on ESPN today in Utica. And I don't think he confirmed it because he can't, but like, it sounds like they're going to get the Devils. So for the Utica fans,
the Utica Devils.
And you know what? It's one of the top cities that listen to our show as well. So we appreciate everyone. That's probably big shouts to Corey in the Ride the Bus segment. But Utica's up there and some of our most listened to. So I hope that we can still, you know, hang on to some Utica fans as our listeners.
Yeah, we appreciate everybody in Utica that listens to our show. I actually didn't know that. So that's it's pretty
one of the top American cities.
Interesting.
Seattle does good.
Seattle. Oh, we're going to lose some Seattle fans, I'm sure.
Pretty soon.
Lisa, Lisa though, Patreon subscriber. Yes. Probably our most.
Lisa's the best.
Yeah. Most prolific.
I can't wait till the border opens. Or Lisa said she was messaging me the other week and saying that she wants to come up here for Canucks games. A huge Canucks fan.
Yeah.
I was like, yes. And then when I go down there, we're going to Jack in the Box. We're going to what are the other Bellis Americans? Fair. Bellis Fair. Going to that, or how did Dollywell say this week? Fellas stairs.
Fellas. No, what did he say?
It was bad.
No, Bell Ferris or something. Something like that. It was wrong.
I need to get
wrong.
Down to the States. I need to go down there. I need to go to Jack in the Box. One time I missed a ferry coming back from a Seahawks game because I wanted to stop at Jack in the Box so bad that we missed the ferry by like 10 minutes. I had to sleep in the ferry lineup. Like,
oh my gosh.
For that night. So that was a tough look. But man, to get back down there, you get the Arby's. You get the 5 for 5 at Arby's. We don't have that up here in Canada.
Yeah.
You go down to Jack in the Box. You get the two tacos for 99 cents.
Amazing.
Sign me up.
Wow. Okay, well, the last thing I want to say about the AHL, the thing that I was thinking of, my cynical mind, went to Louis Erickson. I don't know if you remember. We talked about this before, Chris, but we were talking about how, oh, a lot of people were saying, oh, if you just threaten Louis that he's going to have to go down to Utica and ride the bus, he's going to leave. Well, now Louis is going to be flying to California. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Not a bad gig.
It's not a bad gig,
Chris. You got $6 million in your pocket to spend.
Exactly. It's not a bad gig. So I think, Captain Louis.
Let's talk about Louis a little bit. We never talk about him on the show, but the idea has been floated out there that when he gets that $3 million, he only has $3 million left. You don't think there's any chance he steps away from that after next season?
There's a chance.
Look at what's going on
this
year. I
think the chance decreases a lot now that they're in Abbotsford.
Probably
and
does.
He can go to the Tulip Festival with his kids before a game.
True.
You know?
He's not. They don't live up here. They live in Dallas, right?
Yes, that's right. So,
I mean, it makes a difference because the city's, Abbotsford's probably a better, nicer city for weather and everything to live in than Utica.
And then California, man. Like, he's going to be in California all the time. Like, that doesn't sound that bad. Like, it sounds a lot better than
but what do you think about this season? Like, the way that we're seeing Louis, like, we're seeing Highmore, McEwen.
Exactly.
We're seeing all these guys.
We're seeing them throw everything against the wall and see what sticks, and they're refusing to put in Louis. Louis's
done. A guy who played in the top six last year.
Yeah, Louis's done, Chris. There's no way. There's no, like, and they need, they're putting Cole Lynn in the top six, as they should. Louis doesn't have a future here. Like, it's over.
It's good. Like, I'm not
the
making the argument
saga
for
is
him,
over.
By the way.
Yeah,
but
I know.
It's still kind of, not shocking, but like a lowercase shocking that he's not getting a chance.
Yeah,
while,
I think that's fair.
Well, you see Highmore, you see VC, you see Howard, like all these guys.
Literally everything.
Yeah, well, you're going to see Jonah Gadjevich over him probably pretty soon here.
As you should.
Absolutely. It's just, I'm not surprised that it's happening, but like I just didn't think it was going to happen.
Yeah,
that it would fall this bad.
Give Travis Green props. He's playing
totally.
The kids. He's playing the kids.
Absolutely, I'm down for that.
The thing is Travis is very, he makes sure everybody knows they're still trying to win, and we said it before. You said it. Cole Lynn gives you a better chance at winning a National Hockey League game than Louis Erickson does, no matter where he's playing, and it's hard to disagree with that. So. I don't know. It just, Louis's done here. And I think him walking away for that money, the odds of that happening definitely decrease with the Abbotsford announcement.
But do you know how much, and I don't know if this matters to him, but if he does walk away from that money, that's $6 million on the cap for the Canucks next year.
That's huge.
You know how much Canucks fans would like people, like you go on Reddit, like the funny stuff about Louis Erickson on Reddit. He would be a god on Canucks Reddit if he just walked away from the contract.
Matt, okay.
He'd be an absolute god.
That would allow the Canucks to go get a top four defenseman, to go get a top six forward, one or the other, right? And we've talked about the holes in this lineup.
Is there 2 years left after this year?
No. It's final year is next year.
You sure?
Yes. No, there. Yeah. No, yeah. One more year. He signed it in 2016.
Right, yeah, that makes sense.
16, 17, 18, 19, 20. I'm just counting on air, which is really nice.
That's what people love about
That's what the people come for. They demand it. They come for me counting, yeah. And I was using my fingers while doing that. But yes, that's going to be interesting to see, for sure. But yeah, that is the last year of the deal. So, good to know. But I don't know, Chris. I thought the odds were low before, but then I was thinking, like, look, he's been on the taxi squad basically all season. Like he would be in Utica if it were normal times. And maybe that is more discouraging because he's, you know, he doesn't want to be there and he's going to be riding the bus. Now he's going to be taking planes to California, man. Like that sounds pretty nice.
A lot of his future depends on if he's going to go back to Sweden or not. Like, I feel like that might be something mm-hmm. that's weighing on it. Like he doesn't get an NHL contract after this contract's up, right?
No, I don't think
so. He doesn't get a one-year, $1 million
deal
with
anyone. Maybe Boston takes a flyer on him. Put him in the bottom six, see what happens.
He'll be, what, 34 by the end of it?
Yeah. That's crazy that Louis's not that old. Like, he's old, don't get me wrong, but he's not that old. Like, his production since signing that deal would not suggest that he was, like, in his early 30s.
This offseason, we're going to need content, and one of the things I'd love to do is like spend an episode just like exploring the Louis Erickson and Canucks relationship from like start to finish. Like, you know, from the world championships when he was playing with the Sedins and they were ripping it up just to like to where we've gotten now.
Sounds like a very depressing exercise.
Yeah. We'll bring some drinks.
Yeah.
Some parallel beers.
Maybe you put that on the Patreon. Patreon.com/CanucksCombo. $5 tier gets you all the bonus content. $10 tier gets you into the monthly giveaways that we do. We're
sending out at the end of the month, too.
Yeah, firing those back up again, too.
Marcus and Gene are winners.
Yeah.
They're going to get it here soon. I've been, for Gene, I know he's listening, I've been putting away a bunch of Washington Capital cards for him, too.
There you go.
For him and his son, Marcus, there. Who, by the way, every time I see Gene talking about his kid's going to, I got to start watching when his draft year is.
His kid's ripping it up.
His kid rips it up.
Yes, his kid is ripping it up. It's
scores
awesome.
Like 7 goals a
played
game.
Played goalie one game. Gene posted a picture of him playing goalie, which made me smile.
Longtime supporter, Patreon supporter, Gene.
Yes, like since the start. He's been there since the start. So we appreciate you, Gene. Other than that, Chris, I guess we should, do you have a prospects report? Like nothing really happened.
There's no one to talk about.
Yeah, okay, no prospects report
Linus
this week.
Carlson signed a contract.
Yes, Linus Carlson, yes. Get updates from him. We didn't really talk. Did we talk about Triamkin on the last episode? I don't think we did.
I thought we have a ban on him now.
Yeah, Triamkin ban. Yeah, we'll just, Triamkin's not signing with the Canucks if you haven't heard already. I'm sure you have. But I think the only other thing is our friends at Odd Shark. Little betting segment, Chris. Do you have any betting advice? Okay, I do want to mention, play now, BCLC, Sat gives props. They have a deal right now, or not a deal, a bet you can make with plus 19 odds. I'm not sure if the odds have changed because they lost last night, but plus 19 odds that the Canucks will not win another game this season. I don't take it. They're going to win a game. Jack Rathbun's going to score his goal, and his first goal of his career, and they're going to win the game. And Thatcher Demko's going to get one shutout before the end of the season.
I'll one-up you more. I heard this on Pucks on Net. We met a Rash. Let's talk Botchford Project before we close up here, too.
Yeah, sure.
But I met a Rash at Botchford Project, and he's, you know, I've been listening to Pucks on Net for years. This is a question that I think Ryan Hank asked them. Do the Canucks win, which is more likely to happen? The Canucks scoring winning two games this year, or Höglander doing the Michigan goal? Canucks win two games, or Höglander pulls that move off?
Höglander pulling the move off.
You think that's
sure.
more likely than
absolutely.
Two wins?
Absolutely.
I guess there's 9 games left. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he saw Ennis try and do it the other night,
exactly.
too.
Exactly. I think that Whoa. Might have got the wheels turning a bit for Höglander. Yeah. Especially, you know, earlier on, he's afraid of losing the puck. He's afraid of making a mistake trying to do that, right? Because, you know,
Remember who was really good at it, though? Zach McEwen?
Zach McEwen was pretty good at it.
That Spinorama one he did. I think I caught the video. I think I tweeted the video of that.
I think I tweeted the video of that, actually.
What?
Yeah, I think it was me that tweeted. Yeah, it was definitely me that tweeted it.
Doesn't sound like you. Taking video at training camp? That's
not
you.
Yeah, you're just piggybacking off me now.
That's me. Wait till I get to AHL games, man.
Oh, man, that'll be fun. Yeah. You'll be clipping a lot, I guess. Yeah.
Okay, let's talk botch for tonight. It was so awesome to meet.
It was.
Both of us have met Lachlan before.
Yep.
We know Lachlan. Exciting stuff with Lachlan in the future, you say?
Yeah, we can say that. He's coming to Canucks Army. I recruited him. He's coming to Canucks Army. I'm pretty excited for that.
Stoked for Lachlan to come to Canucks Army.
Yeah. Botch for Project Night was fantastic. It was really cool because, you know, you and I were there a year ago. So, you know, it was cool for them to kind of see that we were in their position just a year ago, and then we're just there as media members in the press box watching a game. You know what I mean? That was pretty cool for them. And, you know, it was cool for us too, because we were just kind of sitting there like, wow, that was us a year ago. And like, I was thinking back to my night. I was so nervous. I had short hair. Man, it was crazy. That, like, I was thinking back to it, and it was just, yeah, like it was so weird because I felt like I was so different. Like, I was still so unsure about all my takes, and now I'm just like, Ulevi's never going to be a top four defenseman. You know what I mean? And I don't know. It's just, it's crazy to see how much I guess we've grown.
Well, you get such a confidence boost from it. I mean, that's,
yeah,
that's one of the things that I mentioned to all of them is like, you know, like this is a good time for you to really lean into the content that you want to put out, right? Like this is a huge opportunity for all of them, and getting, I got a chance to talk to all of them for some one-on-ones. You know, got to take the Will Smith picture with Clarissa. That was a lot of fun. And, you know, meeting Arash for the first time, you know, like I think I DM'd him when I found out that he was the Botchford Project, but we've never talked aside from that. But, you know, I've listened to him on Pucks.net for all this season since he's been added to them. And it was great to meet him and see also just like, how nice is it to like see people in person again? Like, you know, like obviously we can't like go out and hang out with them and stuff, but I think just seeing another person that you know like in real life is like just a really cool feeling with what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
So that was good. And I think Lachlan kind of even talked about it on his podcast that it was just like, it was so nice for him to not like to see people that aren't like your coworkers like in real life, right?
Yeah.
Like that was really good for them. And yeah, I think we talked about it when we heard that they were announced, but what a great three selections.
Absolutely. Like, Kat excellent. Nailed it. Kat nailed it.
She absolutely nailed it. Everyone that was there to make that decision. And can I just say something about Ryan Beach as well? Ryan Beach was obviously, we'll talk about that in a second, but tell you what, Ryan Beach, that suit screamed, I'm rich. That suit that he was wearing, did you see how he looked so good?
He did look pretty dapper.
Man, I don't know how much suits cost. I bought one for like $800 last month. I feel like that was expensive. I don't even want to know how much that suit cost. He looked, Beecher was looking like a 10.
Okay. Wow.
Beecher, he looked good. He had pointy shoes on. You see how pointy his shoes were?
His shoes were pointy. God, yes.
If he would have stepped in the wrong spot, he would have kicked a hole through one of the chairs at Rogers Arena.
Yeah, I was...
And you big leagued him.
I didn't mean to. I felt so bad.
So bad.
So what happened is I was talking to Lachlan, and, you know, Ryan comes up. And Ryan, I met Ryan on my Botch Project Night. Obviously, we did the Warzone tournament with him when Gutout was with us or whatever. So, you know, he went up and said hi to me, and I was like, hey, Ryan. And, like, I thought he was going to hang around, and Lachlan was still talking to me. So, like, I turned away from Ryan to keep talking to Lachlan because I thought he was going to hang around because there was a bunch of us there. And then I just hear everybody go, oh, and I like turn around and Ryan's sitting there with his elbow out and like walking away from me.
Well, he's going for the elbow bump because he can't shake hands or fist bump or anything. Yeah, he was like, and I was sitting in the perfect spot to watch it happen. I was like up in the right beside you guys.
Oh, man.
And I watched him just let that elbow hang and you're just leaving Ryan hanging.
Oh.
I was like, oh my goodness.
Oh, I felt so bad. Anyway.
Brutal.
Anyway.
Left Ryan hanging like he did when he was my editor at Canucks Army on articles, not doing anything.
Oh man, yeah, I like to bug Ryan about that, but yeah, that was a fun little moment from the Botchford project.
My favorite part's been able to like, well, since both of them have had their botch, well, Clarissa hasn't because she doesn't have a podcast. She obviously made her emotions pretty clear on Twitter though, but like hearing hearing Lachlan and hearing Arash, I listened to both their episodes this morning as I'm sitting at BCIT doing sports updates. And just to hear them, the way that they were talking about it, like, it took me back to, like, how I felt when I got to do that Botcher Project Night. And, like, you know, just like what it means to be like selected for that and to be one of the people that gets to go through that opportunity and not only like gets to do it, but like their work got them to that point
yeah.
of getting the opportunity to do it. And just to hear their emotions, like it brought me back to like kind of like what you said about, you know, the chance that we got last year and everything. So I'm so happy that they were able to pull off the Botcher project, because I think for a good portion of the season, it was probably in question if it was going to happen or not. And from all the returns from all of them, it sounded like a successful experience through COVID as well. So I'm super happy they got to go through with it.
Yeah,
and absolutely. I'm damn happy I got to meet Clarissa in person.
Yeah, me too.
What a gem.
Yeah, she's great.
I already knew she was because we DM quite a bit. She's my girlfriend's favorite follow on Twitter.
I know. It's amazing. Yeah, she kills it on our social media. But
absolutely.
One thing I wanted to bring up before we close out here is this article I'm writing right now. And it's just about remembering Botch and his legacy. And basically what I'm doing is I have like, man, I think I have like 30 people now. Just, you know, I have Kat. I got Travis Green. I got a quote from him. Just a whole bunch of people just giving their personal kind of stories about Botch and just what the Botchford Project means to them, because this is the second year it's been around. I know you did an article about Botch's impact on the whole market for your Botchford Project story, and it's kind of like it's similar to that in the sense that I'm really showcasing how many people, like everybody in the press box, you look around, everybody was helped out by Botch at some point, except for obviously a select few.
The thing is, like, you see the people in the press box, all those guys, like, we haven't been in a ton of games, but I've heard a Botchford story from every single one of those people. Like, I've heard a different story from every single one of those people about Jason.
Yeah, exactly. And I just wanted to read Jason Bruff's little response that he sent, because this is just an excerpt from it, because he wrote a lot. But this was something that I was, you know, that this was advice that I got. Not, I won't reveal who gave it to me, but, you know, I'll keep that as a personal conversation. But, you know, it was basically about going all in on your opinions and just like, you know, not before when I started out, I was really into, okay, well, I don't want to be held accountable for this. So like, I'm going to make trapdoors. I'm going to say, well, this might happen, but you know, with the Triamkin thing, I was, you know, I was married to that take. Like Triamkin's not an NHL defenseman. I said it once, I better never say anything otherwise. You know what I mean? And I was a little worried when he started to have a good start to his season in the KHL. I was like, I hope I'm not wrong about this one. But this is what Bruff said. He said, at the end of the day, what Botch understood best was the entertainment value of going all in with an opinion. Who cares? He's 34. Might have been my favorite moment in Vancouver sports radio history. You need courage to go all in with opinions, because you risk ridicule if you're wrong. And that's an important lesson for any aspiring member of the sports media. Don't play it safe. If you've got an opinion, say it. If it turns out you're wrong, just admit it. Don't let the ridicule get to you. Embrace the mistake. Learn from it. Have fun with it. And if it ever does happen that I'm wrong about something, I will definitely take that advice. That's from Jason Bruff, Halford and Bruff. But yeah, that's one excerpt of a response that will be in this article. I'm pretty excited. I think the article is going to be going up on Friday morning. So I am pretty stoked for that.
Good. I'm excited to read that. Sounds a lot better than you breaking down every single one of Rathbone's shifts.
That was fun. That was a fun exercise. I was taking notes during the
game. Another Botchford project.
Yeah, Cody Severson really came in clutch. Yeah, it was great. Cousin Cody, he's great.
I actually reached out to Lachlan about how to clip better, because I don't know what's going on with my computer, but it's just everything's coming out laggy right now and it sucks. Because like my whole life advice? Is just tweeting out GIFs, so like I don't know what to do. I'm gonna lose all my followers now, and I'm gonna be a nobody. You're gonna kick me off the show.
Oh man, that's so funny. I could never do that. That'd be crazy. I was thinking about
you. Literally that. Can't. By the way, you can't kick me.
I know.
Off the show.
I don't think legally I could. I think we have too much kind of together to. I think that would just screw everything up for both of us if one of us left the show.
That's all good. We've been podcasting for this long. We haven't hated each other yet.
Yeah, which is kind of crazy.
We've even really been mad at each other once.
No, I don't think so.
You and I aren't really people that get mad though either.
I am, but yeah, not at you.
Well, you're more of like a little spaz mad person, I feel like.
Yeah.
You don't get like real hard mad, you get moment spaz mad.
Yep, that's fair. That's very fair.
I think I nailed it with that one.
Yeah, I don't really dwell on stuff.
I've seen what happens when you push a group of four in Warzone. I don't think that's probably the most mad I'll see you.
Yeah, very fair. Or at the golf course as well.
Yeah.
This is dragged on for a bit. Let's close it out here. Very fun to be back in the studio with you, Mr. Faber.
Feels good, man. I cut you off like this and now you'll stop talking. And sometimes I just talk and you keep talking on the other end. Now I can stare at you and you'll stop. It's good.
Yeah, it's nice to be back, Chris. We'll see what happens. Probably going to be remote again like next week, but we'll figure it out. We might be able to do this weekend again.
I'm at BC. Well, we're at BCIT right now for our practicum. Yeah. So
we'll see what happens.
I think if people like the audio, let us know. And reviews. Hey, let's talk reviews. I'm getting dumped in the reviews all of a sudden for some reason. Apparently I'm just an average podcaster and Dave's just everyone's hero all of a sudden.
You guys don't need to drag one of us to compliment the show. Like you Chris can drag and I compliment each other's strengths. Like I know Chris is better on air than I am.
Yeah, but me too.
We compliment We compliment each other.
You can edit better than me.
That's I can edit better than you. I can
probably
do
run faster than me.
Probably run faster.
You're a worse golfer than me.
I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, you're a much worse golfer. Well,
that's fair, actually.
You're putting.
Yeah, my putting. Don't even get me started.
We'll save this
We're going on Friday, and then we're going to do the show.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, you know what? Friday, we're back in the studio, folks. For Chris Faber, my name is David Quadrelli. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of The Canucks Conversation.
Hello, thank you for calling Thomas Drant.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.